I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. It's on page 1760 in your Pew Bible. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Thanks, Kay. Keep your Bibles open and feel free to use your newsletter to take notes if God prompts you to think certain things. Can I kick off? Yeah? I think everyone in this room would agree that Christians need to be united. Yeah? We'd agree with that? Yeah. Okay. So I want to ask you a question. What gets in the way of Christians being united? What gets in the way? That's a genuine question. What gets in the way of us being united? Okay, so we've got differences of opinion. And it's true, you know, I've read a book recently that people are afraid to voice their opinion because if you voice your opinion, you might be pushed away from other people. And some people won't even learn things because they're afraid if they learn something, then they'll have an opinion. If they voice their opinion, they don't want to be pushed away. So we're not united because we have different opinions on matters. What else? Any other thoughts? Kevin? Yeah, everyone in this room is weird, eh? Let's be honest, okay? There's not one normal person in this room. And the more you get to know someone, the more you realize they're really strange. And I'm not talking about me and you. I'm talking about the other people in the room. And it's really, really hard, isn't it? Because people are strange. And we're not okay with that. If people were more like us, then maybe the world... No, let's stop there. So different opinions, personalities... I want to add another interesting thing. I think a Christian, something that challenges Christian unity is the world. The world demands us to be united with them. You know, if you're a young person, online demands your presence, whether it's My Face, InstaChat or Snapgram. That was funny. If you're an online person, that was very, very funny. But all those online communities demand unity, demands time and demands energy. Or maybe your club, you might have a hobby and they'll demand your time and unity. Or maybe your work will demand. Maybe your family, and I'm not saying family are bad, and the latest thing is TV. TV is a classic. Have you noticed there's more couches on television as though they're your friends, you know? And it's hard to be united because unity takes energy and it takes effort. And so many things are demanding our energy and effort. And then when you get together, Kevin and Rhonda are right, you find out we're all strange. And if we find someone that's not strange, they think differently from us It's a hard business. The funny thing is, none of this is new. The church in Ephesus, where the book of Ephesians was written to, had unity issues. The people couldn't stick together. And Paul, through the Holy Spirit, God through Paul, is going to teach them how to stick together. Now, this little chapter is really, really easy. The way he's going to do it, he's going to have 3 points. He goes, you're going to stick together, but first you've got to know who you were before Jesus came along. Then you've got to learn what Jesus has done for you. And then you've got to learn who you are now that Jesus has come along. When you learn those 3 things, you're going to end up sticking together. Does that make sense? Okay, what I wanted to do is look at those 3 bits, pull them apart, and then you're going to give me a take-home value for a change, if that's all right. Let's get into verses 11 and 12. Who were these Ephesians? Verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. And that's done in the body by the hands of men. Remember, at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope, without God in the world. That's pretty full on, isn't it? I was taken by all the distance language in there. Did you notice all the distance language? They were labelled by other people. Their label was, you're uncircumcised. They were labelled. They were separate from Christ. They were separate from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were excluded from the citizenship of the Kingdom of God. They were without hope in the world and without God in the world. And they were foreigners to the promises of God. Isn't there a lot of separate language in there? Now, I just want to highlight one thing. See what it says there, without hope in the world? You've got to understand that properly. Have you ever felt hopeless sometimes? You feel, I'm hopeless? That's not without hope, because you can feel hopeless but actually have hope. Have you ever felt like you don't deserve heaven and you're rubbish as a person? Does that mean you're hopeless? No, you have hope in Jesus Christ. But without hope means you don't actually have a hope of achieving what you're meant to. So, for example, if I wanted to join the Australian Olympic weightlifting team, and I'm confident because I've trained, and I'm confident because I can do it, I've got hope. Do I have hope? No, I'm kidding myself. Do you see what I'm trying to say? These people were without hope, and foreigners and excluded. I really resonated with this first bit because before I was a Christian, all those things were true of me. I felt a distance from God, and I felt I was here and God was over there. God was real, but he was over there, not over here. And those people over there, they had something I wanted and I didn't have it. Big distance. Let's see the difference that Jesus makes in verse 13 to 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace, who has made two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with his commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Now, when I summarize this, it seems that the blood of Jesus does a lot of stuff. It's like the WD-40 of the spiritual world. And notice it brings peace. It makes two into one. It destroys barriers. And my favorite analogy, it kills hostility. It's a beautiful play on words. Here's my question. Two into one, drop the wall hostility, drop the barriers and making peace. Peace between who? Is it peace between, is Jesus' body and blood making peace between man and God? Or is it making peace between man and man? Is Jesus' body just getting rid of the barrier and the wall between us and God? Or is it getting rid of the wall and the barrier between man and man? Which one is it? Both. You know my answer. If I ever ask you a question from the front and give you a choice, you know the answer is both. Absolutely right. You can see in verse 15 the purpose of Jesus' death. I love it. 15, 16 go together. Just soak it in. It's great. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace. Now listen to this. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. I love it, I love it, I love it. When Jesus died on the cross, truly he reconciled everyone between him and God. Okay, I don't need to tell you, but I'm going to tell you again. We sin. All right, let's start again. If I have an argument with Frank, if Frank and I don't sort out that argument, Frank and I cannot be in the same room, or we'll be in the same room, but we'll pretend and try and make distance between each other or try not to look up because there's a problem between I and Frank. How do I fix it between Frank and I? You got to talk. You got to sort it out. You got to own your mistakes. If it happens between Frank and I or us and you, how much more between God? There is a problem between us and God. We're rebellious, we're pig-headed, we're stubborn, we don't give a damn about other people. When we get caught, we don't like the consequences, we say sorry, and God is going, I don't like that. And you know he sends Jesus to get in trouble for all the wrong things we do. His blood is shed instead of ours. I know you know that. So the barrier between us and God is demolished. Beautiful. But when this barrier is demolished, so are if our vertical barrier between persons is demolished, this is the fuel for demolishing our horizontal barriers. Does that make sense? If Christ has forgiven me, then I must work it out between Frank and I. If Christ paid the price for reconciliation, then I will pay the price for it. That makes sense, doesn't it? If he died to make peace, then I am happy to die for my brother to make peace between us. And there's no problems between Frank and I. We're good. And what's the goal? Do you see the goal in verse 15? The goal is to make two one, a united humanity under God. I know I do this a lot. Please put up your hand if you've got another country background in your heritage. Okay. Deep. What's your background? Indian. Any other? I'm Uruguayan. Yep, Bridge. English, it's like Australian. Yep. Helen? German? Rhonda? Scottish? English? Any non-Anglos? Any other Indians or Asians in here? What are you? Italian, I love it. You know, in Jesus Christ, our nationality doesn't mean a damn thing. My South American culture comes second to my Jesus culture. Deeper is, I know Deeper and Steve-O's, they're full-on Christians. I know that Deeper will never stop being Indian, but her Indianness is secondary to her Christianness. And Jesus is making one humanity under him. This is good, isn't it? This is very good. Notice, and I want to highlight verse 13 and 18. Isn't it interesting that both or all nationalities have access to God in verse 13 by the blood of Jesus and in verse 18 by the Holy Spirit of God. They don't work apart. Beautiful stuff. Is that all right? Okay, so they were separate. God closes the distance with his son. What's the consequence of that? Glad you asked. Verse 19 to 22, and we are done. Here we go. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and it rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. I love this last bit because it's the reversal of the first bit. Foreigners, outsiders, have been turned into citizens. I love it. But more so, they are the household of God, which is, we're turned into family. I consider Deepa my sister. And I would give her the, if I had a sister, she'd have the same privileges as Deepa. Actually, there are some people in this room, some blokes, that I'm closer to than my brother. So God's family ties are real and stronger than biological ones. But even more so, he's building a temple. Did you notice? All right, quick question. In the Bible, what is the function of the temple? Okay, there you go. It's not rocket science. The function of a temple is the place that God chooses to have interaction. And it says there in the scriptures that we are the temple of God. The foundation is, it says there, the apostles and the prophets. The stability, the foundation, where all the weight lies is in the apostles and the prophets, the New and the Old Testament. The Bible, if you like. Who's the cornerstone? Jesus. Now, I don't know if you're up on ancient buildings, which I happen to be up on because I Wikipedia, but cornerstones are the most precise cut stone, and guess what? They go in the corner, and you fashion the walls in all direction off the cornerstone. It is the alignment on top of the foundation. Does that make sense? The Bible is the foundation. Christ is the alignment. The purpose is a temple to meet God. Now, 2 points. Number one, God wants to be met wherever his people are. If you come here on Wednesday, you may as well stay at home because you got as much chance of meeting God at your place than you have here. The church is not the building. The building keeps the church of God dry. We are the church of God. Does that make sense? Cool. And so, last point. In that, I've got to share with you nerdy bits of ancient architecture methodology. See where it says I'm just trying to find it. The whole building. See in verse 21 it says where the whole building is joined together. The way we build now is you get a brick that's made and you bit of cement and you put it together that way. In those days, they would get a block and they would fashion the block that goes next to it to lock in to that block. And so every block is fashioned into the block next to it and shaped. Does that make sense? Good. Stick that in the back of your head. All right. We're done. Sermon's over. Now, let's look at the Ephesians. If you were the minister sitting at the front behind the microphone, what take-home value would you give to the Ephesians now? Genuine. Go. What would you want to say to the Ephesian church now that you've read this scripture and had certain key words highlighted? Please, I'd love to hear. Otherwise, it would be very boring talk. Yeah, Kev. Yes. If you felt like an outsider, Jesus died for your sin, come in. The church of God is an outward-focused group. You know your church is dead when you only worry about inward agenda. Thank you, Kevin. Anything else? Go, what would you say to the Ephesians?
There's nothing, no difference that you have with another person that God can't reconcile.
Okay, there's no difference with another person that God can't reconcile. Wish I thought of that. Okay, good. Anything else? I'm not looking for particular answers. I want your genuine feedback. Follow Jesus and be one with him. Very good. Thank you. Bron.
These are the facts, so live accordingly.
These are the facts, so live according to them. These are all much better applications that I did. I'll tell you what I did. Number one, I did your one, sort out your differences. Can you feel it in the background? Sort out your differences. Number two, stop creating distances at church when Jesus has been so busy reducing them. Start living as a family under Christ. I love, this is my favourite bit, I wrote it, I guess. Jesus shed his blood to sort out our differences. What am I prepared to do to sort out our differences? All right, what's the take-home value for us at CCM? Well, now for time for a tacky diagram. We have to accept for all our shortcomings and lack of skills, whatever we're not or whatever we are the temple of God that he's chosen to plant here. There's more directly Baptists, they're a temple too, but we're God's temple here. And I think it's important for us to build our community on the apostles and prophets. What does that mean? It means read your Bible, know your Bible, live your Bible. Back to Frank and I, we're fighting again. Frank, we're so unstable. If Frank and I clash, then it's important for us to fix things Bible way, Jesus way. And choose the block you want to be on that diagram. You might be the purple one, the blue one, the green one, the brown one. We're all out of alignment. And life is taking responsibility for our lives, being aware we're misaligned, and start the aligning process. We know that God's fitting us in. He's the one doing the work, but we also know that God's Spirit's in us, so we must participate in the things we believe to be true. That makes sense, doesn't it? So personally, we should each be aligning ourselves with Jesus. And that's circumstance independent. And I think we need to be closing distances between each other. We don't need to be in each other's pockets. But if there's a barrier between you and someone else at church, it is not good enough to leave it up. It is very important to break down barriers. Some barriers break down quickly. Some barriers take years. Some barriers take tears. Some barriers take sorries. But we must all be committed to breaking down barriers. Clashing is inevitable because everyone in this room is strange. It's what you do with the strangeness that matters. We don't expect people to conform to us, but we do expect them to conform to Jesus. Is that all right? Okay. Now I'll bring in something real, I hope. There are genuine differences between us in this room that we don't ignore. They're gone. So, for example, Deepa, I'm sorry we're picking on you this morning. Deepa is, you're in your 30s now, aren't you? Deepa is a young Indian woman. They are attributes of who she is. They cannot be taken away. But they must never get in the way of her. They must never create a distance between her and other parishioners. Does that make sense? We must never let our nationality create a barrier. We must never let our gender create a barrier. We must never let our fears, our anxieties create a barrier. Fears and anxieties are real. We're not denying them. We're just not letting them dominate. Who's Lord? Is Jesus Lord or is anxiety Lord? You've got to choose. We mustn't let self-centeredness get in the way. It's there, it's real, but it doesn't dominate. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right. We have to say no to some things. Just wrapping up. As a Christian, in Jesus Christ, you are blessed. You can go through life that way. You are blessed, 100%. And you're a person of prayer. You're connected to God the Father through the Son by the Spirit. You can't get closer to God than you are now. Impossible. Well, you can. That mean dying. Me, yeah, sure, feel free. But you can't get closer to God. And so prayer, conversation marks friendship, doesn't it? You converse with your friends. We're friends with God, like Abraham, therefore we converse. And we're alive. We really are alive. We don't exist. We don't live and breathe. We're alive. And we, this mob of people, with all our shortcomings, we're the bricks that God's put in place here at Mortdale for now. And when we come together, we've got to make sure that God is visible, even through our gender, through our nationality, through our foibles, through our mistakes, through our fears, through our passions. We've got to make sure that when someone walks in the room, they feel the presence of God and they see the presence of God in our interactions. Does that make sense? So let's rise above the crowd. Let's start committing to church inside of Sundays and outside of Sundays. Let's show God to people because people need God because they're aliens and strangers to good things and God wants to draw them in and he's chosen us to do it. Let's get on with it. Amen. Okay, I'll just pass it to Dennis and I'll be back. Thanks for that. Do you want to pop it up on the screen?